Tell me if this resonates, sister. You're deep in your business versus working on your business, and therefore you can't get ahead of your business. I have been there and done that, and it nearly drowned me. It wasn't until I tamed my masculine energy, reawakened my feminine energy, and then integrated the two that my nervous system healed and my business blossomed. I wrote a book in less than 3 months. I sold my business. I built a team that supports me, giving me more time and energy to create and stay in my zone of genius. I've become a feminine business leader, and I want to show you how you can become one too in 2025. In the Feminine Frequency Business School, my 12-week group coaching and certification for female entrepreneurs who are ready to attract more clients, expand their businesses to seven figures and beyond, and do it all with ease. This program holds the keys and the executive level coaching you've been missing your entire entrepreneurial career and gives you the credentials to set you apart as a female entrepreneur. Implement these tools and your business will thrive. You'll feel in tune with your body and your purpose. You'll see your bank account grow exponentially, and that's a fact. You will see your dreams manifest and step into an entirely new reality. If you're eager to scale a business, brand, and platform that doesn't run your life but sustains it, the Feminine Frequency Business School is here. Doors are open, so visit jessicazweig.com/FFBS to enroll. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I sound like I'm singing, and I shouldn't because I'm so freaking tone deaf. Honestly, you guys, I cannot sing a lick. It's really bad, like really bad. But I do know how to speak on a microphone. Did you guys know that I actually went to school, college for acting, and got my degree as a professional actress? And for years before I became an entrepreneur, I was actually a voiceover actress. I was like the voice for like Suave and Stellara Pharmaceuticals and McDonald's and Sears. I got tons and tons of work as a voiceover actress. Way more work in that space than I ever did like commercials and theater. I was meant to be on a microphone, I guess. I love the audio medium of this world, and this podcast community is the best part about it. I come on this microphone every single week for all of you beautiful lightworker women, for this community of true sisters, of women who are rising in their power. That is what we do as spiritual hustlers. And we know that, as we talk about every week on the show, that we can be boss, we can be leaders, we can be in abundance, we can really know our business marketing strategy, operation systems, doing all the things that drive impact and income without ever losing sight of our divine connection to source, and knowing that we are really here playing a much bigger game than we've been programmed to believe, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I am just on such fire because this now officially is the year of the snake, the year of the yin, feminine yin, wood snake. And we haven't had a yin year since 2023. I shared all about what the year of the snake means and how to really optimize this year and make the most of this time, because it is such an incredibly sacred and potent time for women on this planet right now. But the last year that was a yin year was 2023. 2024 was a yang year, masculine energy with the dragon, and now we're back into feminine energy. And I'm just so here for the metaphorical meaning of the snake, which is death, rebirth, completion, shedding what no longer serves us, stepping into our highest identity, purpose, and prosperity. This is why I'm hosting my live 3-day event on February 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Feminine Wealth Unlock. I hope you are all going to be joining me for this incredibly auspicious time. It is the first full moon. Full moons also represent the shedding of that past cycle, coming in at the first full moon of the year of the snake. This is a big moment on our planet. And we're going to be talking all about how to rise in wealth and power, but doing it in a way that is deeply feminine. And I'm so excited being in this whole vibration of the feminine. There I went and I sang again. I'm just in such a good mood because this is an interview with my dear soul sister, Amy Natalie, that I've been so excited to drop. And her work is all around the feminine codes. Her podcast is called the Feminine Frequency Podcast. And if you have been following me for a minute, you know that I have a business school called the Feminine Frequency Business School. She just released her book last year called The Feminine Way: Reclaim Your Feminine Energy to Create a Life of Pleasure, Aliveness, and Vitality. The title of my last book, The Light Work, started in the same frame: reclaim your feminine power, live your cosmic truth, and illuminate the world. She and I just have such alignments and parallels and sisterhood. And there is just so many beautiful gifts that this woman has inside of her soul that she is giving to her community, to the work that she's doing in the world. And she came all the way into Nashville and we got to record this interview in person. She is even more magnetic in the flesh than she is online. And that's saying a lot because she really does cut through all the bullshit and all the noise and all the static on her podcast and her Instagram. Go follow her, listen to her stuff. She is the real deal. And her wisdom today is only going to further your expansion at this now moment as we open up into this yin year of the feminine, the divine feminine rising. You guys, the snake is the ultimate symbol of the divine feminine. This is such an important time on the planet. And Amy is here with me to really give you even more guidance on how to live in alignment with your truth as a woman on this planet at this time. On top of being an author and a podcast host, she's also a women's empowerment coach with over a decade of coaching experience. She specializes in helping women to emerge as their most authentic, confident, and fully expressed versions of themselves. She is on a mission to ignite women into their feminine power so that you, all women that touch her work, can live a life of freedom and pleasure and fulfillment and purpose. She creates transformational spaces for women to experience radical healing and deep soul nourishment at her retreats, workshops, and group coaching programs. I'm going to leave all of this in the show notes. You guys, go get involved in her work. She is such a gift to this planet. And I really hope that you take this conversation as an activation and an invitation into your deepest, juiciest, most pleasure-filled, raw, and unapologetic light. And without further ado, here's my incredible conversation with Amy Natalie. Amy Natalie, welcome to my beautiful podcast studio here in Nashville. It's such a gift to be with you.
It is such an honor to be here. It means the world to me.
Well, you are walking the walk, sister. You are really embodying the codes of the feminine. And the feminine codes are my favorite conversation. It's literally my remembrance and awakening. So I'm deeply honored to have you and to dive into your incredible new book, The Feminine Way. Before we get into all of that, I have my first question that I ask every single guest, which is, what are you currently spiritually hustling for, Amy?
I'm hustling for the feminine freedom.
Yes.
For all women. You know, for women to live in their power, to be fully expressed, to be their authentic self, to live in alignment with who they came here to be on a deep soul level.
Amen. Yes, you are, girl. You're doing the work, walking that walk. Well, there was a period of time in your life, from what I learned in your book, that you were not living in soul alignment at all. And that was really the dawn of your
feminine awakening, if you will. Can you take us back to really what was the impetus, the breaking point? I know that everyone's going to go read the book, but I think I'd love to start there so that we don't just come at them with the feminine codes, but like really anchor into what I know a lot of women are probably experiencing in their own right. Mm-hmm. So what was that inflection point for you?
Yeah, I think looking back, I didn't have the language for it. I knew that something was off. I felt like everything externally in my life was picture perfect, and I had kind of followed the formula for success. And I followed the formula of getting married and buying a house. And I had my own business, which is a little bit outside of the traditional formula, but like everything looked really good on the outside. But internally, yeah. I was really struggling with my mental health. I had over a decade of chronic depression and anxiety, and I was also struggling with digestive issues and hormone imbalances. And looking back, I'm like, oh, my body was screaming at me. Like these were all the warning signs. These were the alarm bells that were trying to get my attention.
Yes.
And I kept wondering, like, why can't I just be happy? Have everything that I should want, like, why can't I just be happy? And eventually I found myself in my bathtub, tears running down my face, exhausted because I had tried all the things. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time where I really surrendered, where I was like, I'm done trying to fix this and figure it out. Like, I've tried everything, and God, spirit, universe, whoever's out there, like, I need your help. Mm-hmm. And that experience was so powerful for me because I had heard other people talking about surrender and prayer.
Yeah.
But that moment was the first time where I realized, I was like, there has to be something greater for me. Like, I'm not meant to struggle. I'm not meant to suffer. I really want to share that with everyone who's listening, that if you are struggling or if you are suffering, that's not what we came here for. And that really is an opportunity to look at, is there something out of alignment here?
Yeah.
And from that moment, I started to get signs and synchronicities, and I was sitting in meditation because I was waking up at 3 a.m. with panic attacks.
Yeah.
And being like, what else can I do? So I'd sit in meditation, and I started to get these inner whispers from my intuition. And the message that came through was, are you going to try to keep pleasing everyone else at the expense of your own happiness? And I think many women can relate to people pleasing.
Yes.
Right? Not wanting to disappoint your family, not wanting to hurt other people, not wanting to make big changes because you're afraid of what other people are going to think of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this led to you leaving your marriage.
Yeah. At the age of 27.
I was wondering how old you were.
I was 27 years old.
How old were you when you got married?
25.
Yeah.
And we were together from when I was 23. So we were together for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that was that, you know, when you think about leaving a marriage, you often think about that there's a lot of fighting, or there's you know, that it's really bad.
Yeah.
And while that is a challenging relationship to leave, my relationship, it wasn't bad. And there were some beautiful things in it. Yet that deep alignment of personal growth and spiritual connection and emotional intelligence and these things that when I first met my ex-husband, I didn't know those were important to me.
Yeah.
And as I started to get to know myself on my spiritual journey, I realized like, wow, like this is not the life partnership for me. And when I left my marriage, that decision was not just to leave a relationship. That decision was to leave behind an inauthentic life, an inauthentic version of myself. It was like this surrendering who I used to be.
You really went on a journey with that. I mean, look at your life, your work today, and this book is such a beautiful manifestation of that journey and a guidebook for other women to take this journey too. And you teach it in such a tangible, unfolding, very approachable way. You know, I get asked this question myself because I talk a lot about the feminine, and it's a question I often get stuck on, actually. And it's a question I wanted to ask you because this is literally your work. Like, you have this beautiful podcast, you have all of these clients, you've dedicated your life to the feminine internally and externally. And then there are certain women that want to feel more in their feminine, that want to follow the feminine way and have no idea where to start. Mm-hmm. And you have all of these codes, which we're going to talk about. But what is the thing that a woman can do who's listening, who's feeling that calling, who knows she's stuck in the masculine, maybe is out of alignment, knows in her soul and her body, like, wow, that feels better to be more in my feminine. Where does she start?
I like to start by sharing that the feminine is life. It's aliveness. It's your life force energy. And when we're disconnected from the feminine, we can feel really tired. We can feel disconnected from ourselves. We can feel burnt out. And so for me, connecting with the feminine is like, what makes you feel alive? It's different for different people. It's, what are your creative passions? Is it dancing? Is it singing? Is it going for a walk in the park? Is it having a deep, heartfelt conversation with a girlfriend? Is it that you need more nourishment and rest and taking a bubble bath, or like really taking that space and time to connect with yourself and your soul?
Yes.
So it's not a one thing, like this is how you connect with your feminine energy. It's not the same for everyone. But I think we all know we've had experiences, even if it's just moments, whether it's you're dancing on the dance floor and or you're having this special magical moment watching a sunset, or you're writing and you're sharing your expression through writing. Like we all know we each have our own thing that brings our soul to life. Yes. And I think that to me is how I would introduce it, that it's not this formula. It's really tuning in to like what lights me up and what brings me back to life and doing more of that.
Spoken like a true feminine teacher. I love what you said about the feminine is life. I couldn't agree more. And if that's the case, then what does the masculine represent?
Yeah, the masculine's equally as important. Yes. And I want to really emphasize that. I think we can kind of think that the feminine's better or the right way.
I agree.
And in my book, even though it's called The Feminine Way, which is really about returning home to your feminine energy when you've been too far in your masculine energy. So I call that masculine overdrive. Yes. When we have that imbalance, or if you're too far in your feminine, it's feminine overflow. We've got these two edges, right? We need the masculine. The masculine is what allows us to be productive. It takes our creative ideas and allows us to bring them to life. The masculine creates order and structure. And if we don't have the masculine, then we can feel really chaotic, really ungrounded. The masculine is presence too. It's this, the structure, it's the container that holds the feminine.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. Yeah.
We need both. Uh-huh. And without the structure, it just flows all over the place. Mm-hmm. And without the flow, it's too rigid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the whole essence of this podcast. The spiritual hustle is blending both the divine masculine and feminine energies so that we can get things done without killing ourselves. And we need women to be thriving at this time on this planet to help heal the world is my philosophy. And that's why I think books like yours are so important right now. So I want to talk about your codes. Okay. I have them up. There's just, I mean, I love the word code, but you really have defined seven. Mm-hmm. Deepening devotion, awakening intuition, emotional alchemy, prioritizing pleasure, soul calling, cyclical living, and feminine embodiment. How did you channel these? Where did these come from? Can you really give us the inside Amy, like downloads that came through to arrive here?
Oh, I love this question. And it's actually bringing me so much joy to even think back to where I channeled this. So after I went through my divorce, I was, you know, going deeper into my spiritual journey. And at some point I ended up being on this nomadic journey, which I never thought that I wanted to be nomadic. It's not like I was dreaming about being a digital nomad one day with my laptop. It was just like spirit guided me. And it was like, you got to travel. So I'm in Tulum, Mexico. This is kind of middle to end of the pandemic, 2021. And I'm on, you know, like one of those, it's not a motorbike. It's like a scooter, but it's like a electric scooter. And I'm driving back from the beach and I feel the warm wind on my skin and the sun coming down. And I had this moment where I was just like, wow, I feel so alive right now. Mm. And I felt really turned on, like this, almost this orgasmic feeling of, oh my God, this feels so good. And in that moment, I was like, how did I create this? Like, this isn't just for me. How do I teach this to other women? Because I know what it's like to be in the darkness. I know what it's like to feel disconnected from myself. I know what it's like to, you know, not be enjoying your life and to wake up each day and being like, what's the point, really? And then to go from that to then having this wind going through my hair and, you know, being on this epic adventure and just looking at the trajectory of how can I break this down in a way where I can teach this to others. And that's part of my human design and my gene keys is teacher. And it's taking these complex ideas and being able to articulate them, like creating a way to simplify so that you can actually integrate it.
Yeah.
Because some of these concepts can be very energetic and they can kind of be intangible.
Yes.
And I think that's why especially women who are used to operating in their masculine energy, in the logical, in the structure, in the strategy, which is so important, but it can be hard to connect with, okay, like how do I connect with my feminine energy? And that's why the feminine codes are here, because it's like, oh, here are the steps. These are the tools that we need to use in order to unlock your own feminine energy. Yeah.
I mean, they're all so potent. I really loved the one on pleasure and devotion. Do you have a particular code that you work with the most or recommend women start with or a favorite that you have a special connection to?
They're all really special to me. I'll share that daily devotion is where I start with all of my clients. However, today I feel like I want to dive into emotional alchemy.
Let's go.
Yeah. I feel like especially as leaders, and if you have a company where, you know, you're the face of your company or you have other people looking up to you, I think that it can be really easy to feel like we have to put on this facade and that we have to be perfect, whether that's our physical appearance or looking like our life is perfect and we have it all figured out and we have it all put together. And it's such an illusion because no one has it figured out.
No.
As soon as you have it, you think you have it figured out, like the universe is going to come teach you a lesson, you know?
So true.
It is that bit of like, we are all so human.
Yeah.
And we as feminine beings, specifically because we have a menstrual cycle and because our hormonal cycle fluctuates throughout the month, we have a wide range of emotions.
Yes, we do.
And we're also, many of us are empaths, we're deep feelers.
Yes.
And we're sensitive to things around us. And so for a lot of women, what happens and what we've been taught, and men too, this is not just women. This is,
totally.
Is impacting all of us. Yes. So I really want to emphasize that.
You write about that beautifully in your book. It's very inclusive in that way, but go on.
Yeah. So we're taught to that it's weak to feel our emotions. We feel embarrassed if we don't feel okay or if we're having a hard time. So we'll either distract. There's two modes that I see when I work with my clients. I see these two modes. Either women distract and they avoid their emotions. So they are scrolling on social media. They stay really busy. They don't make time to sit and connect with themselves.
Yeah.
Or on the other hand, they overindulge where they just get stuck in these cycles of spiraling.
Right.
And so really learning how to, the emotional alchemy piece is saying, okay, here's this emotion. And when we look at what emotion is, it's energy in motion. If we take the judgment out of it, it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. We're humans. We have emotions. And if we allow that energy to move through us and freely move through us, we learn how to express and release our emotions, then it no longer gets stuck in our bodies and in our energy fields.
Yes.
And then we can transmute that into more joy, more gratitude, more power. And I'll just share personally, I think why I felt called to speak to this and we were talking before we went live is these past couple of weeks have been some of the most challenging weeks of my life. And this tool particularly has been the most healing for me during this time. And for some context, I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and we've experienced a lot of loss and our community has experienced a lot of loss. And every time there's been so much grief And every time that grief comes up, I'm allowing it. There's no shoving it down. There's no pushing it aside. It's like, okay, let's let this move. Let's let this process. And in that, I feel like my heart has opened so much to humanity. There's so much like space for compassion and gratitude. Had I been numbing it or stuffing it, I would be in a very different place right now. And yeah, the alchemy is real. The alchemy is, we are so powerful when we allow ourselves to really go deep into the realms of emotions. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, the most powerful unlock key. You know, in my book, I call your emotions the keeper of the keys to truly access the true multidimensional experience of being in a human body and to really not hold it, you know, and suppress it where it gets stuck and then it repeats and then it comes out in ways that don't serve you or anyone. There's so much availability on the other side to offer, you know, your next version of yourself, the people that you serve, your community, humanity. We're born to feel. And I love the way that you guide the reader and your clients. I know so well in your work, the way you do this and the way you communicate, you really are a teacher. And I'd love to actually talk about your work with your clients because I actually discovered you through Scout, who I love that you mentioned openly in the book that she gave you permission to do that. But you work with some really powerful women. Like your clients are predominantly, I'm imagining, female entrepreneurs who are really discovering this side of themselves and you're really holding them through that journey. And many of these women, I assume, have visibility and are doing really big and important things in the world. And how have you seen women who are accessing in your client work this feminine power, whether it's through any of these codes that you teach? How is it shifting their businesses? How is it shifting their visibility, their impact? Can you kind of walk us through some examples?
Yeah, there's so many layers here. And yeah, being in service to leaders is so important to me because I see the ripple effect, you know? And I think that when you're holding so much, whether it's responsibility or you're holding space for other people, I find that it's so important for us to continue doing our own work and to allow ourselves to be held, you know, because that's walking the talk, that's leading by example, that's continuing to grow and evolve. And I've found in my business, when I haven't been doing my own work, that there's a lot of stagnancy.
Yes.
And where there becomes misalignment, I get too far into that masculine mode and out of my creativity and inspiration. So continuing to do your own inner work as a leader is really important. It allows you to be a better leader. And, you know, it impacts all aspects of their life. First, I would say their relationship with themselves. You know, there can be a lot of imposter syndrome and perfectionism and people pleasing as a leader. And that often leads to burnout. It leads to not actually enjoying your business. And it's like, why did I start my business in the first place if I'm just going to be working? And I have too. I totally been there too, you know? So I think first it allows people to enjoy their businesses more and to feel more fulfillment and make sure that the business that they're creating is in alignment with their soul mission. And that may evolve and change over time, which I've seen for so many women, including myself, that when we're really deeply listening, that there's these evolutions that happen throughout our journey and we go through these like death and rebirth cycles, which we can get into. One of my favorite topics.
Yeah.
So there's the internal experience of, okay, you know, enjoying their business. And then it's also feeling more fulfilled in their life outside of their business, because I find that we can get so tightly wound up in our identity that our business is us. And then we lose sight of having deep connections with girlfriends and spending time with people. You know, at the end of the day, when we look back, it's not going to be how much money we made. It's not going to be how many followers we had. It's not going to be how many books we wrote. It's going to be how much time did we spend with the people that we love, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think really the anchoring into that feminine sisterhood, it's deep intimacy in your relationship with your partner or calling in aligned partnership as a female entrepreneur to have that support, that divine union. And then, you know, the authentic expression, it's being your authentic self. And I think you do such a beautiful job at this, Jess. You know, I've had you on my podcast a couple of times, and your vulnerability and your willingness to not hide you know, to really just really let yourself be seen is that's such a beautiful leadership quality. And when we're able to do that, we're not worried about, oh, are people going to judge me? And even if those are fears are there, we're not letting that stop us because those fears will come up.
Yeah.
What happens is we become more magnetic because people can feel that authenticity. They can feel truth more and more as we become, as consciousness rises, as we become more attuned to energy, like people can feel that. And it's hard to relate to someone when you can feel that they're not being their full self, when it feels like, oh, I only can feel part of them, or I can't really feel what's going on for them. And that doesn't mean you have to share your entire life on the internet. I think there you get to have boundaries and privacy and all of that. And I think that a lot of women, especially entrepreneurs, you know, they're high-functioning entrepreneurs, high-functioning women, a lot of women struggle with their mental health, with anxiety, with depression. And that is like my greatest strength because I've been there and I continue to do the work on my mental health. Like it, just because you're making a lot of money or because you have the external success, like the impact that that can have when we're not connected to our feminine energy, when we're not doing the deeper healing work, like it can play a really big toll on our mental health.
Yeah. It's an epidemic. Actually, I read a statistic recently that over 54% of female entrepreneurs report burnout. And that's just the women who are talking about it. Like I, every woman that I have talked to in the last, I don't know, year since I sold my business and came out with like my burnout story, everyone has been like, I either am currently or was once or have a few times. And thank you for reflecting that about, you know, me showing up in the muck regardless. I don't know what it is inside of me. I just never, I've always felt called to tell the truth. But there's, you know, you've seen me go through some death and rebirth cycles, and you mentioned that that's one of your favorite things to talk about. And I know that there's, I feel like we're standing in an inflection point right now on the planet with this collective awakening and the reclamation of the feminine and the returning of these codes, teachers like you. And a lot of ego death is happening for women, like a lot of identity crises. Women are reaching a breaking point, not only in entrepreneurship, but like in corporate America too. I think the everyday woman is just feeling this pressure cooker of like, what, why doesn't this feel how it was supposed to feel? And when you meet someone in that like death portal, you know, you were just talking about surrender on your podcast a couple of days ago. I would love for you to walk that process through. I'm sure you've helped a lot of women through just that.
Yeah, I love this process. And there's a couple of different metaphors that I love to use in teaching this. And I like to teach this because I want to normalize what people are going through. I think when we have context for like, oh, this is the process that I might be in, it can help us to feel less alone and it can help us to feel more empowered. And the more death and rebirth cycles that I've gone through myself, the more that I trust, oh, I'm going to make it through this. And not only am I going to make it through this, but it's going to be even better. And it went like the lower the low, I'm like, oh, there's got to be something really good on the other side of this.
So true.
Yeah. So I like to use the seasons as metaphors for this, especially like with the feminine connecting with nature is really powerful. And so there's kind of like a four-part process that we go through. The first one is the death, which you can think of. I actually think of that part of it as the fall, where anything that is inauthentic is falling away. That could be relationships. It could be parts of your business, maybe offerings that used to feel aligned for you, or maybe that were built from a place of ego or just, yeah, from a place of hustle in a hyper-masculine way where those are no longer in alignment and you're feeling that. It could be your entire business. Maybe you're going through a really big personal change. Early on in my career, for the first 4 years of coaching, I was a health coach and a nutritionist. And I eventually really grew out of that. And I was really afraid. I was like, if I let this go, like, am I going to survive? Am I going to be able to support myself? You know, what are people going to think about me if I come out of the spiritual closet as this women's empowerment coach and this spiritual mentor? And you just went through a similar experience, big shifts, right?
Yeah.
So it could be like, as you're evolving, there are things that just don't no longer feel in alignment for you. And that, I think, is the part of the process where we can face a lot of anxiety and a lot of the depression, because there's so much fear around making the wrong choice. There's so much fear around letting go. There's a lot of uncertainty on the horizon. Yeah. So that's the death process. It's the shedding, it's the releasing. And I find that once we're able to come to that decision to let go, there's a little bit of a relief there. Now, a lot of people want to jump into, okay, what's next? They want to get into the rebirth process.
Spring.
The spring. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You got to go through that winter first. And I kind of think of the winter as the cocoon that the caterpillar goes in. And there's a lot of gunk and...
It turns to mush yeah. when a caterpillar goes into a chrysalis.
It becomes
liquid. It disintegrates, yes.
And it kind of feels like that. It's yeah. like, yeah. it's almost like you're like in this never-ending trust fall.
Uh-huh.
And our mind wants to grasp onto, how am I going to figure this out? What's the new business model? What's next? And what I'll say is that this part, the more that you can surrender... And not rush this part of the process, because this is the winter. This is the deep magic. In the book, Sacred Success, Barbara Stanley calls it the sacred pause, the intentional pause to really deeply listen so that we can move forward from a place of alignment and clarity and not from a place of forcing and pushing.
A reaction.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if we really allow ourselves that space, no matter how scary it is.
Or how long it takes.
Or how long it takes. Yeah. yeah. And I've recently gone through this again myself. The answers come. And when they come, then we move into the spring, which is the rebirth. And that's where the creativity, the inspiration, the aliveness, where you come back to life
yeah.
in a more colorful way, in a more aligned way. And then we've got the summer, which I think of as the expansion, when the butterfly is flying, it's doing its thing, it's sharing its magic. And it's so magnetic to come into that place where you're operating from that place of deep alignment and passion and joy, and not from the place of, oh my God, how do I just pay the bills, or how do I get to my next level of success?
Right.
It's like, oh no, this is coming from your soul.
Thank you for walking us through that.
Yeah.
I was like on a journey with you going through all the seasons of nature.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I felt that. You know, it's so powerful to have that frame around nature and the seasons being a reflection of literally everything,
mm-hmm.
our businesses, our relationships, our lives. I remember when I was really struggling in one of my many years running Simply Be, and I saw my astrologer, because my business had been looking like this in a straight line up for 5 years in a row, and then it plateaued, mm-hmm. and then it went down, and I was like spinning out. And she said to me in that session, she goes, Jessica, if all things are nature, that includes your business, and it's going to go through deaths and rebirths and, you know, all of the things. And as you were talking about that butterfly, like, I saw it, I felt it. I'm like, why can't we just fucking stay there? Why can't we always be in the summer and the expansion? And it is inevitable that we have to fall. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's what life has offered us by coming here and incarnating in these human bodies. It's the assignment.
Yeah.
Right? To like live in the dark and the light.
Yeah. The duality.
And the duality and to grow. And what do you say to the woman, you know, in kind of going off of my question, really asking for a friend, like when we're in that space of expansion, we know the other shoe is going to drop,
mm-hmm.
or we know that like we put some sort of cap on, how good can we stand it? Life is going to naturally knock us down at some point. It can't really be this way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say to the women who are like questioning that too,
mm-hmm.
or have those fears?
Oh my God, so much.
Let's go.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if we look at it from a spiritual perspective, it's the non-attachment, you know, it's the, okay, if we get too attached to everything working well all the time, then when it's not working well, then we react to that a lot more. So it's like when things aren't going well, we know that it's temporary. We look at this as a season, as a cycle, that this is the living cyclical wisdom of like, we are all going to go through these cycles. And I always like to tell my clients that you're not going backwards. I think that's what we get afraid
that's
of.
Good. That's good.
It's like this upward trajectory, but it's a spiral. We're spiraling up, And there's going to be times where we hit those lows and then they bring us back up. And the more, again, that we go through those cycles, we become more empowered and we get less afraid of the lows. It's not that they're not hard. They can be grueling sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is challenging. And it's like, oh, we learn something new every time we go through those cycles. We gain wisdom. We gain insights. We sometimes end up leaning in for support from loved ones and people and like really let ourselves be seen. There's a lot of beauty in the darkness too.
Totally.
And of course, no one wants to be in the winter. We all want to be in the summer.
When I look back, absolutely.
Yeah.
But when I look back at my winters, they sucked in the moment, but I am so grateful for them.
Mm-hmm.
They were like I fell into the deepest, darkest state of depression in winter, actually. Mm-hmm. Like it was a full January, February, March season of dark nights, short days, like cold weather inside my house, unraveling. And I look back at that, Jessica, and I'm so grateful she went through that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sweetness and a richness in that soil, you know?
Yeah. We build so much resilience there.
We do.
You know, when you go through hard things, not only do we build resilience, but we also build compassion and empathy.
Yes.
And it teaches us to be better friends, better partners, better leaders. When we've gone through that, we can have the capacity to hold space for others when they're going through that. We really get it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's part of our divine mission too. I think a lot of leaders, you know, everyone has their highs and lows. And when we can see those as opportunities. It's not easy in the moment. You don't often see it in the moment.
No.
But if you can hold that vision of like, okay, this is a season and there will be a summer again.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. I needed to hear that today.
Yeah.
This book is so beautiful. There's so much in here. You write it in that compassionate voice because you, to your point of once you've been through it, you get it. And that's how your book feels. Like, I got you, girl, because I've been where you've been. What would you say you really want the woman who reads this book to ultimately take away?
I want to empower women to know that they are the creators of their reality, like the co-creator of your reality. And if there's something out of alignment, if you're unhappy, if things are not feeling good for you, you have the power to change that. And these are some tools to help you to look within and to see, okay, how do I come back to my power? How do I align my frequency? And then how do I show up as the authentic leader, embodied leader that I came here to be?
Yeah.
So just reminding women that like we have so much power and the world doesn't want us to think that, you know, we live in a world that doesn't remind us of that. So surrounding yourself with other leaders and light workers and sisters who can remind you of that is really helpful too. Yeah. Which is, I think like one of the last chapters of my book, I talk about that integration of like, we're not meant to do this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And you are a sister and a light worker and you really truly guide the reader in a way that makes her feel she's not alone.
Thank you.
A gift, your book. It's really, really incredible.
Thank you. It feels like such a gift to be seen by you. So thank you so much.
Well, I know what it's like to pour your heart and soul into something like this. And, you know, as I was reading it, it felt like a homecoming. Like there's so much truth in this. And the feminine is equally as valuable as the masculine, as you were saying earlier. And yet there has been an overvalue and dominance of masculine energy on this planet and a repression and a suppression and a getting of the feminine.
Yeah.
And we both have the word reclaim in our titles, in our subtitles, which is so amazing and so aligned. And this is what I'm up to in the world, like really helping women reclaim this power inside of them. Because when we heal this, we really truly heal the world. And your book is an incredible, incredible tool and vehicle for women to come home.
Thank you. You couldn't have said it better myself. Thank
really
you
amazing.
So much.
You're welcome. It's such a blessing to have you here. All right. So I do quick fire at the end.
Great.
You know, my quick fire questions.
Let's
I don't
do
know
it.
If you've heard them. They're so much fun.
Yeah.
I get a little woo and weird, as I'm sure you can imagine, but I don't even like to use that word woo. I feel like that diminishes like just wake and conscious people. That said, you've written this beautiful book, but I'm curious to know, do you have any spiritual books that have really influenced you? Do you have a favorite?
Yes, so many. I think in the realm of what we were talking about today, The Surrender Experiment feels a good one by Michael A. Singer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
And then I know that you're having Marianne on the podcast as well, but A Return to Love. Oh. I mean, that book.
The OG.
Yeah.
Like classic.
Yeah.
Of all classics.
Yeah.
Game changed it all. The second question I have for you is, do you work with like an angel or a goddess archetype or a deity or an ancestor that is close to you?
Yeah. I've worked with many, and I think I resonate a lot with feminine archetypes.
Yeah.
One of the archetypes I resonate with is the wild woman.
Love that.
And the goddess that is associated with that is Kali.
Yeah.
She's a warrior goddess who will destroy anything that is not in alignment with love. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that for me, especially because I grew up as a people pleaser and, you know, really had a lot of fear of what other people were going to think and didn't have boundaries, like that to me was a really big awakening for me of my self-expression. Yeah. Of being my authentic self in the world and having that power. Yeah.
Love that for you. Do you believe in aliens?
I do believe in aliens.
Do you know what kind of alien you are?
I don't.
Yeah. I would be interested to know. You definitely are a starseed.
I feel like you probably channel it for me.
I'm like getting a little Sirian and Andromedan, maybe Arcturian, maybe.
Yeah.
But we can come back to that offline. But I love that you are here for them because it's, you know, science. My last question for you is, what does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Yeah, to be a co-creator of the new earth is to lead with love. Yeah, to be in service to humanity.
I love it.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, get your book, follow you, learn all about what you're up to, your coaching, your retreat, all of the things?
Yeah, so you can find me on my podcast, The Feminine Frequency. And when I read your book, I was like, of course she's channeling Feminine Frequency as well. So good.
We're like such sisters.
Yeah. So Feminine Frequency would be a great place to start. You can find all my services on my website, which is amynatalieco.com. And then I have my one-on-one mentorship, which is the Embodied Leader Mentorship.
Incredible. And I know a lot of women that have worked with you and have really greatly grown and expanded because of it. So everyone go find Amy, and thank you for coming to Nashville and being here with me in person and giving me your codes in IRL. It just truly was a blessing to have you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was so good.